From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. The state of Alaska is filing a lawsuit in federal court alleging the U.S. Office of Subsistence Management has overstepped its authority. Over the summer, the federal agency restricted one hunting area in the interior to only local subsistence users, citing public safety concerns. It also granted permission to the Organized Village of Cake to hunt out of season during the pandemic. Doug Vincent Lang, the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says the state fundamentally supports subsistence activities, but it's challenging the way the federal office is following bedrock law, namely the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA, which suggests the federal agency should cooperate with the state.
In the last 6 months, we've seen a rapid diversion from that, actually going well beyond what we feel are their legal authority, so we thought it was the proper time to challenge those.
As the pandemic played out, rural residents became increasingly concerned over disruptions to the food supply chain. The Federal Office of Subsistence Management received at least 6 requests to hunt or fish out of season. Vincent Lang says the state had an agreement with the Federal Subsistence Board. They were supposed to ask the state of Alaska if food shortages existed. A state emergency command unit determined that wasn't an issue. However, the Office of Subsistence Management still granted Cake's request. Vincent Lang said that wasn't justifiable.
We believe it's time to allow the state to be the principal manager of subsistence in these areas.
Throughout the ordeal, tribal governments said the special action request wasn't just about food scarcity. It was about the overall health of village elders and having access to traditional foods during the pandemic. Cake was able to harvest up to 2 moose and 5 male Sitka black-tailed deer, which were distributed to the community. The state is asking for the Office of Subsistence Management to immediately halt its first order and to no longer grant special hunting requests under these circumstances. Independent Al Gross is seeking to be the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senator for Alaska in a race against Dan Sullivan. But when the party's nomination against 2 opponents, Democrat Edgar Blatchford and Independent Chris Cummings. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman spoke with the candidates.
Al Gross says he decided to be an independent when he was 18, watching the relationship between his father, Alaska Attorney General Av Gross, a Democrat, and Governor Jay Hammond, a Republican.
They put party politics aside and did what was best for the state.
Now Gross is aiming to be the first Alaska Democratic Senate nominee who's not a registered Democrat. The state party changed its rules in 2016 to allow people who aren't registered as Democrats to run in party primaries. Gross began working in commercial fishing as a teenager and later became an orthopedic surgeon, working in Juneau and later Petersburg. He's now based in Anchorage. Gross says owning small fishing and medical businesses helps him understand the problems the state faces.
I don't like the direction that Alaska or our country's going, and I believe that Dan is showing no sense of independent thinking for the state. I don't believe that he understands what makes the economy of Alaska tick and what's holding it back.
Gross wants to reduce healthcare costs by offering a public option for purchasing insurance. And he wants to ensure Alaskans receive their fair share of resource development in the state, saying the proposed Pebble Mine would give little back to the state. He wants to help mediate partisan disputes in Washington, and he wants to see better federal leadership in response to COVID-19. Gross's campaign has more than $5 million in funds. Both of his opponents have raised no money, but both have gotten votes in statewide Democratic primaries before. Edgar Blatchford received nearly 40% of the votes in the Democratic primary for the Senate in 2016. Blatchford was born in Nome and later lived in Seward, where he became the mayor. He lives in Anchorage now. He's a former commissioner of the Departments of Community and Regional Affairs under Governor Wally Hickel and Commerce, Community, and Economic Development under Governor Frank Murkowski. And he's a journalism and Alaska Native Studies professor at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. Blatchford says Democrats should consider him as the only party member in the race.
I could have chosen to run unaffiliated or independent or nonpartisan. I chose to run as a Democrat because I think the Democratic Party needs to have someone on the Democratic ticket who is not afraid to be a Democrat.
Blatchford is disappointed that the Alaska Democratic Party endorsed Gross last year, long before the filing deadline. He wants to reform federal campaign finance laws, adding transparency. And he supports increasing corporate accountability, saying that Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is a hero for her positions on corporations. He says it's clear why wealthy donors outside Alaska give money to candidates in the state.
It's because they want to buy influence. People in global corporations don't give money out of the goodness of their heart. They expect something in return.
Cummings, like Gross, is not a registered Democrat. He received 8% of the vote in the Democratic U.S. House primary in 2018, running against Elise Galvin. Cummings works assisting children and people with disabilities with daily tasks for the Ketchikan nonprofit Community Connections. He says Congress would benefit from more people who live paycheck to paycheck, like him.
Been trying to buy a house, but my student loans are 100% what's keeping me from being able to do that.
Cummings says he struggled with mental illness and has been in recovery for more than 2 years from an opioid addiction.
We got lots of doctors, lots of lawyers, lots of businessmen in Congress, but we don't have people who've been sick, people who aren't well off, people who have made mistakes.
Cummings says his top priorities are universal government-funded health care, improved federal support for public education in Alaska, and federal leadership in providing quality child care for everyone. The primary is August 18th. More than 20,000 people have already voted early, either in person or by mail. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Following Monday's news of the first confirmed case of coronavirus in Cake, the neighboring southeast community of Angoon is now requiring face coverings in most public places. They've joined cities and communities across Alaska with local mask requirements, including Juneau, Anchorage, Gustavus, and Tanaki Springs. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry has more.
Angoon Mayor Joshua Bowen issued an emergency order on Monday, August 10th, requiring face coverings or masks in public buildings, businesses, and churches, as well as public outdoor spaces where social distancing is difficult to maintain. That includes the ferry terminal and the Alaska Seaplane Base, which provide the only links to the rest of the state. The order does not apply to members of the same household or when employees can maintain 6-foot distancing from one another in an office building. There are also exceptions for children under 2 and individuals that can't wear masks because of health issues or disabilities. Bowen says he'd been thinking about issuing the order for a while.
I've had it ready to put out for a little while now, but I've just been counting on people to do the right thing and to wear their masks without being mandated to do so.
But the tipping point came earlier in the day when a resident of the nearby community of Cake tested positive for the coronavirus. Additionally, the village's local tribe, the Angoon Community Association, had started to strongly encourage face coverings. And an Alaska Marine Highway System employee on the ferry Lakanti tested positive over the weekend. The Lakanti services the small Admiralty Island village of around 450 people. How the order will be enforced is a question that many communities with mask requirements have faced, especially in places with limited local law enforcement like Angoon.
That's the not fun part of these things, enforcement.
Bowen says the city can issue a $500 fine for noncompliance, but he doesn't plan to do so unless absolutely necessary. So far, he says public feedback has been positive and they haven't had any major issues. Angoon is also considering requiring all incoming travelers to self-quarantine upon arrival, something they'll discuss at an upcoming city council meeting. Alaska's reopening plan allows communities to enact stricter travel restrictions as long as people traveling for critical personal needs or as part of essential services or critical infrastructure are not subject to automatic quarantine or isolation upon arrival. There are no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Angoon. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
An Anchorage diner owner who kept his restaurant open for dine-in service in defiance of a coronavirus order says the business will be open for takeout only amid concerns with possible fines. The Anchorage Daily News reports Andy Kreiner made the announcement in a video in which he said the restaurant cannot afford to pay daily fines that grow in size. This is KTOO News.